Hello and welcome back to the expansion room, the space where inner work meets impact. And today we have a special guest. Linda Mosanico has joined me to have a conversation about her path to self-compassion, this journey of from fear to love in the space of mental health. In psychology, which most people don't really think of as a space that encompasses spirituality, right? And so we're going to have a lovely conversation around that. She will share about her journey of healing and self-compassion and her memoir, The A-Train to Sedona, which explores how clinical understanding and spiritual experience intertwine on the path to self-compassion and healing. So welcome, Linda. And most of the people on this particular platform, talkradio.nyc, will also remember that Linda hosted her own podcast with the same name, The A-Train to Sedona. So Linda, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to since the podcast, and then we will dive into the book.
Well, I'm a psychologist and a spiritual coach. I'm a Reiki master, as well as I work with integrated energy and vortex energy. And you asked what I was doing. This last weekend, as a birthday gift, I took myself to Kripalu Yoga and Center. It was amazing. Now, for me, it's a 3.5 hour drive. Stockbridge, Massachusetts. But I thought, I just have to get myself there. And the energy was so loving, the people, such a good vibe. I read, I went to yoga, I meditated, and I came away with a deep feeling of peace.
Oh, so
It is
wonderful.
absolutely wonderful. So here I am. So since, I mean, I was on Talk Radio, New York City, for almost a year. Enjoyed it so much, learned so much. It's a wonderful family show. Sam Leibowitz is a great founder and executive producer. Since I've left, at first I thought, what am I going to do with myself? Time. You know, all the work involved in finding
Indeed.
people, interviewing them, and doing episode summaries, and more and more and more. Yet I'm able, I signed up to be a volunteer at CHIPS, which is a soup kitchen that I've wanted to be a volunteer with for years. I'm more social. I wrote my first blog in like 11 months. I posted a change in perspective. It was great. And I'm working out more and doing yoga more. So I'm feeling more fit. Coupled with Kripalu and the deep sense of peace, I feel better than I felt. I feel really grounded and centered and in the love vibration.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I'm glad to hear it. Kripalu is a most magical place. I haven't been in years, but my time there was well spent. Beautiful place to go. My drive is a little longer than yours.
You're in Maryland, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, wow, that would be out.
It was a while. Yes, it was
So
a while, but
maybe
it
if
was
you went
so
with
worth it.
someone, yeah, you
It
could.
was so worth it. It
Yeah.
was beautiful. So
Once you
I've kept them on my radar. I was supposed to go to a workshop there. I believe it was 2020, which of course it got canceled. So I haven't like made another venture to schedule something else, but I definitely want to go back.
If you drove with someone else, you could share the driving.
Yeah, then it's more lovely.
Yeah, I was by myself.
Absolutely.
And you know, it speaks for itself.
Yes,
So I've been
indeed.
busy. I put a holiday list together today, and I'm going to start doing some shopping, and I'm delighted to be on your show.
Wonderful. I'm so delighted to have you. So tell us a little bit about what led you to write The A-Train to Sedona. Like, where did it all begin for you?
I have to say, it began in Sedona. So around the time of 9/11, I was searching for a group, a spiritual group. And then when 9/11 happened, the next week it was planned that I would be joining the group. But at 9/11, I felt so bereft. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be with people. I wanted to be part of something larger than I am. So I joined the Park Slope Food Co-op, which was begun in 1973. It's like the United Nations. You walk in, it's the United Nations of people. It's collaborative. And I felt really comforted by that, as well as the group that I joined, a spiritual group led by a clairvoyant healer. And I didn't know what they were talking about. We'd meditate every week and talk about things. And it was like I was speaking Italian and they were speaking Spanish. I didn't understand. So I started to read the metaphysical literature. And one of the beauties of the group and the clairvoyant healer was that she embraced all traditions without dogma. She would take the beauty of Hinduism, of Buddhism, and just brought it to us. And I had such an experience there with going to her for healings every 3 weeks or so, going every week at first, chanting and meditating, that I had this experience that I wanted to share. It was such, I felt so, talk about your expansion room, I felt so expanded that I thought, you know, this has taken me a long time, and I think I can share with others and have it take them a shorter time, like being on the express rather than the local.
Yes. And we don't, it's funny because down here in the DC, Maryland area, we don't have express trains, which I vividly remember as a young kid growing up in New York City, just watch that train whiz by in a station. But I think the express trains are fabulous. And I can see your idea of wanting to help others to speed up their process.
Yes, because I mean, this is just one journey. We're all in a different reality. We have our reality.
Yes.
This is my reality. And this is what helped me. And I wrote about that. So I found an editor, and she didn't know what I was talking about. So I was putting all these components together. And finally, she said, I get it. I get it. So I wrote the book. Nobody was interested in it. So and she said, Linda, if you know, an author needs to have a website and you have to blog. I said, there's no way I want to do that. No way. So anyway, rejection after rejection, I said, all right, I'm a blogging. Here I go. Mm-hmm. I set up the website in 2013.
Okay.
And I started to love to write. But anyway, the book was written to have my voice be heard and to share my shortcuts. What helped me could perhaps help others. This is what I did. This is why I felt. Now, I share a lot of my failures and a lot of my successes. Of course, on the spiritual, when you think of spirituality, there are no mistakes. It's you make a decision and you learn from that decision.
That's right.
And then you go from there and you learn and you learn. And my father used to tell me, you know, you're a psychologist, Linda. You practice. When are you going to get perfect? And I write in the book that there's no sense of perfection here. That's we work, we move forward, and we make progress. If we fail, if we do something that we don't feel we're happy with, we pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off. There's a song that goes like that, and try it, and we do it again.
That's right.
Right. No miss that really not. We miss the mark, but every decision leads us somewhere.
That's right. That's right. We step into a different reality or timeline when we make a decision.
Yes.
You know, and then we see if that feels good or feels right for us. If not, we make another decision.
I mean, that knowing of it feels like it's appropriate in the heart. I get it in the heart, like the music of the heart is. So when I was growing up, this brings me to, I went to parochial school. I studied dogma. When I went to the spiritual group, I thought, whatever I take in has to resonate in my heart. Heart to higher self, heart to higher self, dogma aside. And I became the architect of my choices.
Yes.
If it didn't resonate with me, I just put it aside. And as I go, because this is a lifelong journey,
that's right.
I have new ideas and new feelings, and I let go of others, because we're always, if our eyes are open and we say yes to the adventure, we're going to make changes. And it's not always comfortable. Thinking of driving 3.5 hours to Stockbridge on the Taconic, which I had never driven ever.
Oh, the Taconic, yes.
It's winding. There's no shoulder.
It's very. You almost feel like you're in a race car with some of those curves. Yes.
So it's past, you know, when I feel uncomfortable, I know, okay, this is the road to take. Pun intended.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I'd forgotten all about that highway. Yeah.
Were you born in the East?
I was born in New York City. I was born in Harlem, raised in Queens. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm very, very familiar with the Mid-Atlantic as well as the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut area. I can't really get it out of me, even though I haven't lived in New York for 30 years. I still consider myself a New Yorker.
I love New York. I'm sure you love Maryland. I finally, because I traveled a lot in earlier years, and now I finally put roots down in Brooklyn. And I feel very gutsy, and I like Brooklyn. And I remember when I first moved, I said to my husband, "You want us to move to Brooklyn? Brooklyn?"
I know. Brooklyn. That's how we felt in Queens about Brooklyn.
And now I just love it. It's real. I love it.
Indeed, indeed. All righty. Well, we're about to take our first break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the role of spirit in the healing process.
Okay.
So everyone, come on back.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. And today we're talking to Linda Marcinico and discussing her memoir, The A-Train to Sedona, and her path to self-compassion and healing through love. And I would love to hear, Linda, in this segment, what the role of spirituality is in your life, as it has unfolded through these, now it's, I guess, been 12 years since that trip to Sedona. No, more than that, 15 years.
10 years.
Since that trip to Sedona. And so I'd love to hear, like, what's the unfolding been like in reference to spirituality? And then later, how does that influence how you support other people, how you support people who are on their own healing journey?
To me, spirituality is the highest perspective. When I think of spirituality, I think of jumping beyond the third dimension and understanding that I am an eternal spirit housed in a body. And for me, spirituality came, I have to say, in my early 50s. In my book, I mention being on the floor of my living room and closing my eyes and seeing, I saw universe in my third eye. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I am connected to universe. Universe is in me. I'm in universe. We are all one. It was a very important moment. Before that, in the 90s, I don't know for how long. Now, when I was a child, I went to parochial school. I had faith in God. But as I became an adult, it kind of faded. But my faith in God stayed there. In my heart, I believed. I would pray. At some point in the 90s, I looked around and I said, if the world looks like this, there can't be a God. And I lost my faith. And so what happened, who was charged with returning my faith to me? The Reverend Ed Tabetis, who wrote the book, Just a Breath Away, Tell Me How to Die, I've Never Done It Before. With his amazing clairvoyance and compassion, he was responsible for having me, reminding me that there is a God. And what I learned and what resonated with me is that when we turned away from God, we humans created the Mishigas that we see in the world today. That took me a while to figure out, but during the faithful path. So for me, spirituality is everything. This eternal spirit, we're all connected. We're all brothers and sisters in an all-inclusive club. No one is excluded from the club. Now, Sedona is a beautiful place. And with this spiritual group that I was a member of, I had never heard of Sedona before. If people were going there in the 60s, I was married. I had one child. I later had three children altogether. But everybody knew about Sedona but me, it seemed.
Wow.
And so the group said, we're going to Sedona on a retreat. And I went twice a year for a number of years. And I'm going to tell you, the energy knocked me out. It knocked all of us out. Now, there are people who go there. There are people who live there who don't feel the energy at all. Mm-hmm. When I go there, it's like you're on marijuana.
Wow.
You're having a high. There was one time I went to Bell Rock, which is one of my favorite vortexes. And I walked down. I had my car in the parking lot. It must have been a summer or late spring. And the window was open in the car, and my glasses fell. They went from my eyes. They were either here or here. I don't remember. They go out the window, and they fall on the ground. And that was what I took that to mean was, it may sound so trite, but ground yourself, Linda. You're getting in the car. After this experience, ground yourself.
Well,
so we learned. I dealt with issues. We journaled. It was, think about it, twice a year for at least 5 years, yeah. 6 years, and then in 2007, I bought the house. I thought, I want to be here. It was my happy place. It took me 2 years to find the house.
Oh, my goodness.
2 years to find it. And I thought at that time, and I think I may have written about it, I was so impatient. But, you know, I thought I was going to buy this house. Why aren't I buying it now? And what I came to surmise was that the house wasn't ready for me. Somebody owned the house. had bought it and was ready to flip it over the 2 years into it when I was finally seeing it for the first time. And I wrote the first the book that was rejected by a number of publishers in Sedona on my laptop, outdoors. One artist passed me, oh, wow, he said, I'm feeling that energy. But I just was going and going. And I just would go, I would write, I would see my friends, I would go to the vortexes, have lunches. It was just a joyful thing to do. Mm-hmm. And my spirituality grew. Because as we let go of the distractions, issues of anger, I'm feeling bereft, I'm feeling this, we're more able to focus and hear the voice of God. We're more able to discover who we are, because the journey is within. We ask questions of ourselves and we move on an inward journey. So as I'm dealing with my issues, I'm becoming less distracted. And in my psychology practice, mm-hmm. I started to see some differences. I would get a ping. So someone's sitting across from me, and it could happen on Zoom too, but we didn't have Zoom then. If they were not aware of an issue, I would feel it. It would come to me on the part of the body that would register that kind of issue. For example, the left shoulder could be female past, what I should be doing and how we should ourselves. Oh, and so I get a ping, or I ping on my side, which all the energy systems that I studied helped me understand. So I would sit there, I feel a ping, and I had to first determine, is this me or is it my client? And when I felt that it wasn't me, I would ask, are you feeling on the left side would be helplessness? Are you feeling helpless? Mm. And I would always get a yes. Mm-hmm. And I would be able to describe with my client an unconscious experience of theirs. And then at one time, Laura, my friend, Laura Lysak, channels Kuan Yin. And Kuan Yin, through her, said to me, Linda, bring parents into the sessions. I thought, how am I going to do that? So I had a client come in, and it was going to be her last session. She was moving to California. And we said that we would deal with her father. She gets to the session. She's afraid. I said, I can't do it. All of a sudden, the father spoke through me. And I don't remember what he said. It's one of those things. It's not my composition. It's not my, right. I'm not the author of it. And she looked at me and she said, and she knew that it was a communication. And that happened with another client as well. So as I said, we're all wired in the same way. And as I said, as we let the distractions go, we have more ability to be part of our multidimensional self. And the first time I heard about multidimensional anything was from Gary Zukav in Seed of the Soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that book sat on, according to Oprah, sat on her bedside table for years. I'm not sure if it's still there. It's quite a book. And he talks
about it.
It is. It's quite a book. Heavy.
It is.
So
I've had to read it a couple of times. First time I read it, I didn't get it.
I may be due to read it again.
Yeah, right? But yeah, it's funny when you come back to powerful books like that, the opening within you that occurs because you have more clarity, more understanding, you're farther down on your path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I may read that. It's on my bookshelf. So spirituality is all of this, and psychology is like the structure. Of the ego, the self, you know, if we use Freud, the ego, I can't even think of it, the ego, and the superego, and the id.
And the id.
But all id. And we know as, I believe as a practitioner that the unconscious is very powerful. And we need to bring it up into awareness so that it doesn't hijack us.
Yes.
Because, you know, people talk about they make resolutions at New Year's and then they fail. There's not an alignment with conscious and unconscious self. So the more that when we give permission, the angels will come in and help us. Our guides will come in because we have free will. Mm-hmm. They'll leave us alone. I was joking with somebody, sort of saying they're waiting for us to say, please help me. Thank you for helping.
Yes.
Yes. She wants us to help her.
They're just like hanging out, watching, you know, waiting for acknowledgement and ask for help.
Yeah. So help.
That's why they're here. Yeah. That's why they're here.
Yeah.
Indeed. Indeed. Wonderful.
Yeah. So spirituality is everything for me. When I wake up, I'm in a co-op on the 9th floor and I have nothing on my windows. So I wake up and I can see as the sun is becoming prominent in the sky. Mm-hmm. And I often will say, thank you so much for this beautiful, every day is different. It's so infinitely creative. Thank you for this beautiful beginning.
Amen. That's a gorgeous way to wake up.
I recently had a lot of photographs along the windowsill. Mm-hmm. And I took them away and put them, I have other places for them so that I could see the full window.
Ah, okay.
I have the full window. I have a little Buddha along a vein of the window so it doesn't obstruct the glass. And then I have another little trinket. Then I have another little Buddha, a little one, tiny, tiny one in my bathroom window. And then I have another Buddha. I just love Buddha. I have him on my bathtub.
Okay.
And a lot of other symbols and things. And this huge marble, black marble Buddha. It must weigh 20 pounds.
Oh, wow.
It's very heavy. And I have it. It's beautiful black marble, which sits on a side window on the windowsill.
Lovely.
So I see that as I get up.
Beautiful. I love when people allow their windows to be the picture frame instead of covering. Like I don't have... The only room I have curtains in is in the bedroom, so I have some privacy.
Yeah.
But in general, once I roll up the shades in the morning, it's just clear open window so that I can, you know, see all of nature and not be obstructed in any way.
That's breathtaking.
Yeah, it's like it's the best. To me, it's the best way. But people love their curtains and all the things. But I bought the house because of the windows.
Windows are so important to me.
Yeah.
When I was looking for an apartment, the windows had to be good windows.
Yeah.
And I'm very pleased.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, we will take our next break. And when we return, we'll talk about responsibility, like radical responsibility in mm-hmm. self-love.
Okay.
So come on back, y'all.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room, where today my guest is Linda Marsanico, and we're talking about her memoir, The A-Train to Sedona. And one of the things, Linda, I'm keenly aware of is the gift of that we've been granted of free will, right, comes with responsibilities, right? We have a responsibility for our own growth and our own expansion. And so I'd love to hear your take on responsibility. Like, what place does responsibility have in spiritual growth, and how has it changed or transformed your relationship with yourself and with other people? Oh, you're still on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Good. In the A-Train to Sedona memoir, I list 12 tips toward the back of the book. I had written the book and I thought, how can I give it a thumbnail sketch to everyone? And I wrote the 12 tips. The first tip is, and this has to do with responsibility, having an intention. Mm. An intention to be on the spiritual path. Without intention, life can become or can feel like a hard task. Many things happen. But with intention to be on the spiritual path, I can look at the third dimension and jump to a multidimensional experience. Now, intention is the driving force of creation. And it's Buddha who says, don't attempt, just do. Now, for years, I didn't understand what Buddha meant. And finally, I got it. When I attempt, the energy meanders. But when I do, it's like a laser.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yeah.
So that brings me to responsibility. The second tip is to have a sense of responsibility, because we forget, you know, in the amniotic fluid, it's said that there is something that takes, it gives us amnesia from all of our other lifetimes, right? We come into the world, and we forget, and we have to learn that we're here basically to heal ourselves. We're put into a family. It's not a perfect family. And that reminds me of a cartoon I had. It was the Association of Functional Families. Two people were in the audience.
That sounds about right. Wow.
So we come out and we forget that we need to be, we forget what we promised.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you see me? Because I've lost you.
Oh, yeah. I can see you just fine.
Okay. I'm not sure what happened here. But anyway, let me see if I can get back. Oh, there we are. So our task is to heal ourselves. And so taking a sense of responsibility, because as I was saying before, we all of a sudden the screen went blank, I want you to know.
Ah.
We're powerful. We're powerful, yes. Goddesses and gods.
Yes.
And we forget that. And yet I'm here to tell all of my clients, if they're open to hearing it, if they believe in any kind of multidimensionality, I remind them that they're gods and goddesses. Powerful beyond our imagination.
Amen.
And we need to fill that in.
Yes.
And that takes the challenge, the adventure of the spiritual path. So by responsibility, it means I don't blame anything for what has happened to me, that I take responsibility for myself, because there are a lot of things that happen to us. People are ridden with trauma. They've been violated. They've been, you know, a lot happens.
Yes.
But we take responsibility and we choose love over fear.
Yes.
So by choosing love, there are many, many things that happen to us every day. And I've written that compassion is an everyday experience. I walk down the street, I can, when someone smiles at me, it's a burst of sunshine.
Yes.
And especially if I'm having a rough morning and I go out and someone smiles at me, it's a wonderful thing to do to brighten somebody's day. To treat somebody with kindness rather than irritation.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we're driving.
Oh, yes.
Right? So I'm in the fast lane. Somebody's going slow in the fast lane.
Mm-hmm.
I could curse and yell, and the negativity is, every cell in my body is going to radiate
That's right.
that negativity. And we're all feeling my negativity. Or I can say, all right, let me flick my lights. Maybe she'll move over. If she doesn't, maybe I'll just take a little longer time to get there. And maybe eventually I'll change lanes. I'll take an alternative approach. Perhaps my mother and father are deceased now, but my mother could say something that I could take offense with. But instead of taking offense, I could step back and deflect in some way. Or someone could approach me and say, Libby, your hair looks terrible. And I might say, you know, I've gotten so many compliments, though.
There you go.
Or be bold and say nothing, or choose compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, choosing compassion doesn't mean being a pushover.
Right.
Because I remember being on a show and I said, you know, we need to be assertive in compassion. And the person said, really? How does that fit in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, assertion allows me to be real. It allows me to say who I am. It allows me to announce what I need.
Yes.
Now, I may not always get what I need, but I've said it. So say I want to go out to dinner and nobody's available. Mm-hmm. I can take myself out to dinner.
Yes, this is true.
Also, if it's a deeper thing, a deeper issue, I work with my clients and I work with myself to heal my children within. Mm-hmm. There are experiences which can have us get stuck at a certain age. I remember one of my clients wanted to go color in the park. She'd bring a coloring book. She was in her 30s. She brought a coloring book and she went in the park, or she rode her bike in a playful way. When we have a dialogue with our child within, we know what we need and we give it to them. And I often say to a client or to myself, we are the CEO and the president of our corporation. We're the architect of our choices. And that I'm in charge now, younger self. When we were kids, I had no power, but now I'm it. Watch the decisions that I make. And if I make a mistake, so-called mistake, if I say something that I speak the truth to my inner children. So taking responsibility is a very powerful attitude. It changes our energy when we take that with that intention and that attitude of responsibility.
Yeah.
That puts us in the adventure of the path. What adventures will I encounter today? It was Wayne Dyer who said in one of his books, God, I give you my day.
Ooh.
And he would just be moved by what he felt he was being directed to do.
There you go.
That takes a lot of faith.
It does indeed. I think that you made such a powerful statement about taking responsibility for your own, you know, spirituality, for your own self, because we're living in a time where blame is everywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. But that is such a powerful thing to do, to be able to pause.
Yes.
Have enough self-awareness, right? And take responsibility for the parts that are yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we feel big.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, there are issues that we have to deal with.
Yes.
Where we feel small.
Yeah.
But we don't have to remain there.
That's right.
We were talking about reaching out to the angels. We can reach out to our friends. We could reach out to professionals. There's help around.
Always.
Yes, but we need to reach out when it's necessary. And in my book, I write, I have a number of friends. They're spiritual friends, three of them. And I'll text. I want to run something by you.
Oh,
we have
nice.
a brief moment. I'm going to run something by you. And they give me their astute, they put their personalities aside as much as they can, as much as we can. And they tell me what they think the spiritual meaning is.
Oh, lovely.
And it's, you know, and we know we get on the phone if we can't immediately, almost immediately, unless we're involved in something else. I want to run something by you. Boom, I'm there.
That's a wonderful friend group to have.
And it's powerful because I have trust in them. Yeah. And I know that each of them has a different expertise, a different perspective. And I know who to go to for what.
Okay. Lovely. Yeah. That's a good thing to have. And are some of them part of this group that you used to travel to Sedona with?
One I met in Sedona. She's my realtor. I haven't been in touch with her in a while, and then the two are in Brooklyn and Queens.
There we go.
Of course, with texting, they could be anywhere. Right.
That is true, which is a lovely thing.
Isn't it?
The way technology has evolved, we can reach out from anywhere to anywhere at any time. That's a great thing. I was chatting with someone recently who was significantly younger, and I was telling them about the days where you would give someone your phone number and you'd have to wait for them to call you at home. And you couldn't leave. Like if you wanted a date or something, you couldn't leave because you wanted to be there when the phone rang. But the world has opened up in such a lovely way with technology in that regard.
I love to text. Not that I don't, I mean, I certainly love conversations, but to get something quickly done.
Yes.
It's such a help. Yeah. It's really dynamite.
It really is. It really is. All right. Well, we're going to take our next break, our final break, actually, for this episode. And when we come back, we will talk about the moments of grace, right? Okay. Those little moments of grace and the train to love. And we'll wrap things up for the audience. So come on back, everybody.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. And today, my guest, Linda Marcenico, has been sharing her experience of expansion into self-compassion and love through her memoir, A Train to Sedona. And I would love to hear, Linda, about your most pivotal spiritual moment. If you can share with us, like, what was the spiritual moment for you on your, the most spiritual moment for you on your journey?
Am I unmuted?
You are unmuted.
You know, sitting on the floor of my living room, closing my eyes with a yoga book that my sister gave me was one. I think I've had a series of pivotal moments. When Ed Tabidis came to me and I didn't believe in God and he restored my faith, sitting on the floor of my living room, I'm doing yoga for the first time, I think, in years. I mean, she gave me this, she said, get this book, it's very good. And then I close my eyes and I think, oh my goodness. I am part of universe. And I went on this. I was being readied for what was coming for me.
Yeah.
Jonah, yeah. Writing the book. But there was something else that happened more recently. When I was in a condo in Brooklyn, there were three of us, three families in this condo. And the people on the third floor became pregnant, had a baby, and they put their carriage right in front of my door. So that when I opened my door, 3 feet from my opening was this carriage. And it was, you know, how my windows are apertures, like my retina is taking pictures. This was like, I can't bear it. So I spoke to the mother. I spoke to the father. I asked them to move the carriage. They would not. I repeatedly tried to get them in conversation. No. In my anger, I didn't offer to move the carriage myself. I could have said, you know, they had this vestibule, and rather than put the carriage in my right in front of my door, they could have put it in this vestibule, up some steps into this vestibule. I could have offered to do that. I did not. I was angry. And we stayed angry for months. And the talk about the energy was palpable. They were unhappy. I was unhappy. And I think that angels whispered in my ear. And I thought, let me focus on love and compassion. And I began to say, I am a bodhisattva. And that is, for anyone who doesn't know, a bodhisattva is someone on the path to enlightenment. So I open my door, see the carriage. Instead of being angry, I say, I am a bodhisattva. I am a bodhisattva. I go out to my office, come back, see the carriage. I am a bodhisattva. I am a bodhisattva. I am a bodhisattva. And they moved the carriage. And that, to me, was a miracle, and just in like that, the carriage was no longer there. And I thought to myself, they felt the energy. The energy of love moved them, and they moved this baby buggy. And it was, it showed me the power of love. We never spoke about it until a number of years later. She had moved. They had divorced. They moved, and I saw her in Prospect Park. And I said, you know, I told the story in my, I want to tell the story in my book about the carriage. And do I have your permission to do it? Okay. She said, yes, just change my name. So that was a very pivotal moment for me. I was very grateful, because didn't like how angry I had become, and I was very grateful for the whispering in my ear.
And you listened to the whisper in your ear.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That story reminds me of a song I remember hearing growing up, that one of the lines in it was, love can move mountains.
It's amazing. It's a catalyst, really. It opens doors. And it's said to be the most powerful vibration that we have. When people talk about, have you heard of the violet light of Saint Germain?
Oh, yes.
It's a violet light.
Yep, through my Reiki course, yeah.
So the colors come from Mother God's pink and Father God's blue to make the purple. So it's a very powerful energy. That I love very much. And if I'm going on the subway, I'm on the subway all the time. I
okay.
can intend violet light for protection.
Yes, beautiful. Very nice. I love it.
And I wanted to read something.
Yes,
so when
please.
I wrote the book, nobody was interested. I couldn't find anyone who was interested in the book. And I met a book whisperer. His name is Jared Rosen. And he said, you know, we're going to revise this. And I had to revise the book after I had done a lot of rewriting. And I have to tell you, I thought I was going to throw up. Sat by myself and he said, Linda, you can do this. And he said, I want you to write a reflection after every chapter. And I'd like to read this reflection to you.
Okay.
So living in love is quite an achievement, as well as a prize. I feel light when I'm in love with myself, with my family and friends, with my writing, with my work, with clients. The day is brighter, even if it's raining, when I'm living in love. The glass is half full. People smile at me. I hear the birds. This reminds me of a blog I wrote. I came out of the gym after a workout one summer day several years ago. Remember that the gym is air conditioned, and the heat of the summer air smacked against my body like a turbulent beach wave. It was 80 degrees at 8 a.m. Instead of bracing myself against the heat, I moved through it. I felt as though my molecules expanded to allow my passage. I crossed the street and came upon a bird perched in a tree singing. This was a beautiful song that I would have missed had I been distracted by my irritation at the heat wave. I was filled with joy hearing the music, and it carried me further into the morning. I am uplifted by love and joy, and you can be moved too. The energy of love surrounded me, and it's a wonderful way to begin the adventure of a new day, a new opportunity to flow with this awesome energy.
Thank you. That was beautiful and a beautiful reminder. Oh, I love it.
Thank you.
How can our listeners, using your analogy of the A train, right, be able to implement some practical mindset shifts or daily practices in their lives so that they can move from being in this fear-based life to more of a life of self-compassion and love, the way you just described in that reflection?
The first thought is to have the intention to be on the spiritual path, then to have a sense of responsibility. Those are huge in moving us to begin to acknowledge that we can be powerful and to move into that power. Then I think it's important. I have a four-stage model that I work with my clients and with myself, and that is to know what my thoughts are. So thoughts come around and they come from childhood. They can be almost pre-conscious if we're not aware of them. So to be able to step back is a gift to say, what am I thinking? And if I don't like it, I can change it. And I don't mean fighting with it. So I have, oh, I can't do anything right. So I have to tell you, I'm a member of Toastmasters. And I took the role of Toastmaster after years of doing it, but I hadn't prepared. What a flop I was in front of my colleagues, 15, 20 people. And I said to myself, all right, I didn't prepare. Next time I'm going to prepare and I'm going to do it better. All right. The energy when we do that is very, very different from taking ourselves to task and saying negative things. So the idea is if I say, I can't do anything right, I can replace it with, you know, I did something that I wasn't so happy with, but I'm going to do it better the next time. I'm going to rewind the reel and figure out a way that pleases me. It's going to be really great. Like that. And and that takes a lot of work because remember, thoughts are coming all the time. You say, oh, there's a negative thought again. What can I say that replaces that negative thought with something loving? We want to talk to ourselves the way a kind parent would talk to ourselves, to reparent ourselves, right? So know what the thoughts are, step back and say, how will I, because there needs to be an awareness and a decision to work at this, because the effects are amazing when it's put into place. Then the next thing is, next idea is to know what our habitual behavioral response is. Habitual behavioral response is a phrase from David Hawkins, MD, PhD, who moved to Sedona and was revered in Sedona. He wrote books. I have most of his books on my shelf. He talks about habitual behavioral response. So if someone says something to me and I become angry every time they say it, do I want to continue that?
Right.
So I might, what I can do is make a plan to act differently. Because remember, a shift in me is going to create a shift in someone else. And so making changes in our habitual behavioral responses is a very effective way to change our energy.
Beautiful.
So if somebody comes up to me, and some people like to be a little fresh. Someone recently said, oh, so you're late again. So I said, oh, it's so good to see you. And I kissed them and I walked away.
There you go. Yep. Did not even take the bait.
I didn't. So that, and that took a lot of work for me, because this is a person that's very close to me within the family. So, but it's doable. And when we work at it, it's effective. Remember, it's changing our interactions, it's changing our energy.
Yes, beautiful.
The next thing I would suggest is a meditation and mantra practice. Mm-hmm. I use mantra when I'm too preoccupied to meditate. If somebody says something to me and it's running through my mind, bothering me, I do a mantra. I am calm, I am focused. And one thing I love to say is I am a quiet mind. And I like, it's not really great grammar, but I am is a very powerful affirmation, which gives me an electromagnetic charge to my higher self. So I am a quiet mind. You put that mantra in. Now, meditation is a blessing when our mind is at rest, when we're not depressed. It's a beautiful thing. I love to meditate at Kripalu. I meditated. So I pray for something and then I meditate for the response. And then I would suggest letting go of what doesn't serve. Now, everybody's talking about letting go of what doesn't serve. I see it written everywhere. And it's important to do that, whether it's letting go of clothes that we haven't worn for a number of years, or clutter, because it affects our environment. If I'm angry, because to be compassionate, I need to be forgiving. Now, I write this too. It's not easy to forgive sometimes. We can't just say, I'm going to forgive somebody. We have to be ready to forgive. And it may take work. I may need to feel more powerful. I may need to get a new job. I may need to feel more self-loving. But I can, on the adventure of the spiritual path, say, all right, I'm feeling this way, but I'm working toward forgiveness. Because what I hold against them, I'm holding against myself.
Mm-hmm.
So forgiveness is so important to keep that in mind. What's the saying that I think that if I poison somebody, but I'm poisoning myself instead as well?
That's right.
It's very, these are very, very important, because in this adventure, we have people who do things that upset us. We have traumas to heal. There's a lot to do. And with these tips, and there are more tips, and there are 12 tips for the A train to Sedona to get on the express train.
Fantastic.
actually get on, because the A train is an express. So when I first wrote about this on Twitter, somebody said to me, that's not, the A train doesn't look like your book cover. And they put a picture of the A train. And I said, I know, this is a representation.
Exactly.
But the A train is an express train.
Beautiful. Thank you so, so much, Linda. I think those are so key. All of them, all those that you just listed, they're so key to stepping on the path and moving forward on the path in little ways and big ways.
Mm-hmm. So and they add up.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're at the end of our time together. And I want to thank you for joining me. This has been a lovely conversation. I'm so glad you came.
I'm glad so too, Siobhan.
So glad you came. And to our listeners, thank you for watching and listening in. And join me next week on the Expansion Room. And I hope that you have a beautiful guided week. Okay.
Thank you, Siobhan.
Thank you.
Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.